Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
In the last week or so, I've been getting a lot of emails from people who said, Steve, are you aware of that crazy case out of Michigan involving the Lugnuts? And I've responded to almost everyone who's emailed me and said, yes, I actually did several videos on that a couple years ago when it happened. And I double checked and I checked the links that people were sending me, and they're referring to something that happened a couple years ago in the state of Michigan. And then as I was thinking about it more, I thought, I wonder if there's an update on that case, which I'll explain in a moment. So the link people were sending me to was an article that came out, I believe, late in 2019. But here we are in 2021, and I had, when I did the three videos on this back in the day, I had said, I'll update you when I find out more. And so I'm here to update you because I found out more. So the story goes back to a case, very, very strange case out of Michigan in the Court of Appeals. And I'm going to give you the version by Neil Rubin at the Detroit News. Neil's a great guy. And he interviewed me and a couple of my friends and people I know for a story where the headline was, Court, tightened lug nuts not guaranteed entire rotation. As an attorney, Steve Leto is not supposed to disparage the courts, but after an appeal panel's decision last month involving lug nuts, legal fees, and the definition of the word perform, he said he's off the hook because, quote, they ruled in such an idiotic fashion that they're disparaging themselves. Unquote. And yes, I said that. And it was true. So what happened was three judges from the Michigan Court of Appeals said that a tire rotation by a mechanic is considered performed even if he left lug nuts untightened such that the wheel fell off as the customer drove away from the shop. So somebody comes into the shop, says, rotate my tires. They pull all the tires off, put the tires back on in different locations, and then tighten some of the lug nuts properly, some of them they don't tighten properly, and as the car is driving away, one of the wheels falls off. Is that a violation of the Motor Vehicle Service and Repair Act, which is MCL 257-1300 et sec? I would argue and say that is a violation of the act. The trial court agreed, and a jury awarded damages as a result of this case. The defendants took this up on appeal, and the Court of Appeals said, no, that's not a violation of the act. And the Supreme Court also followed up on that very recently. So here we go. Leto is a lemon law expert. His words, not mine. Was not involved in the case, but he worries that the decision will become a potato in the tailpipe of an important consumer protection statute, legitimizing sloppy repair work and detouring drivers who need legal help. I said, in the narrowest sense, Anaya lost on appeal. In the broad sense, every mechanic now has the right to start a job, not complete it, and say, okay, finished it. And that's what's happening here. So the Court of Appeals actually looked at the language of the statute. And the question is whether or not he had performed the act of doing a tire rotation, that is the mechanic, when he removed the tires, rotated them, put them back on, and failed to tighten the lug nuts on all the tires. So the jury awarded the plaintiff something like $40,000 and then another $70,000 in attorney fees and costs were awarded, which we'll get to in a second. But the left front wheel fell off the car, and the Cadillac slid to the side, slammed into a curb, and injured a passenger in the vehicle. And that is actually the real sticking point here. Because a lot of motor vehicle service and repair cases involve a small amount of money. So you bring your car in, they screw something up, you got to take it someplace else, get it fixed someplace else. And it's almost like small claims court stuff quite often. I've also had a bunch involving oil changes. They forgot to put new oil in. They forgot to tighten the plug. They forgot to put a new filter on, you know, little stuff like that. And those can cause more damage, you know, thousands of dollars in damage. But again, you know, we're not talking million-dollar cases here. So here's what happened. The appellate court said, well, you know, what exactly do we mean by the word perform? And the statute contains definitions of all the important stuff, but it doesn't define the common language ones. So it didn't define the word perform. And the law says that they have to perform the job if they're going to charge you for it. Now, the problem here is actually a little trickier than this. They focused on one word without noticing like what the rest of the statute said. So an attorney that Neil Rubin quoted from Birmingham, where I used to drive a tow truck, is named Edmund Yee, and I know Ed very well. And he said to Neil Rubin, the analogy is that you hire someone to replace your stove. He pulls the old stove out, puts a new one in, and doesn't connect the gas line, and your house blows up. Is that to say the guy replaced the stove? I think it's a good analogy. So he points out there's a chilling effect if the Motor Vehicle Service Repair Act no longer helps recover attorney fees, because that's the point. If somebody works on your vehicle, you bring your vehicle into a shop and they do shoddy work on it, and you leave and you get injured, you can go after them for negligence. Common law negligence. They had a duty to fix your car. They didn't fix it properly. You got harmed. Boom. Negligence. The problem is that under a common law theory like that, you don't get your attorney fees and court costs paid. So you have to have a statute that gives you those in America. So in Michigan, it's the Motor Vehicle Service and Repair Act. So Ed says that's the hammer in the statute. In cases with damage to the car but no injury, vehicle owners have to spend thousands of dollars for legal assistance, and that's more than the cost of the repair. The classic term is the doors to the courtroom would be closed to them. And I, Leto, summarized, if it's a couple thousand dollars and I get one third, no one's made whole, and I won't take the case. And that's true. People call in my office and I say, Steve, I got a case for $200, $300, $1,000. Can you help me? And I say, well, if you're going to pay me, it wouldn't make any sense. So the dealership that did the work and its law firm would not respond to a request for an interview from Neil Rubin. But the Court of Appeals wrote a 6.5-page opinion, and they said that the Motor Vehicle Service Repair Act, which was adopted in 1974, says that the shop cannot charge for repairs that are not performed, and a bunch of other stuff. But the point is that the judges looked at some different dictionaries and said that performance implies that you start something, but it doesn't mean you have to finish it completely 100% correctly. And yet, as I pointed out, and again, this is me talking here, I taught law school for 10 years, Leto said, and you're supposed to read a remedial statute in the favor of the party you're trying to give relief to. A tie goes to the runner. And so the point is that the statute was passed by the legislature in an attempt to protect consumers. It wouldn't make sense for them to pass a statute that has absolutely no effect. Because right now, you can bring your car and go, I need an engine swap. They can pull the old engine out and go, give us $10,000. We swapped your engine. You go, no, you didn't. You pulled the old one. Yeah, but the job's been performed. You owe us money. Pay us. And you might think that's absurd, but that's actually what could happen here. Now, a business can't stay in business very long doing that for other reasons. But the one consumer who gets ripped off can't do much about it. So the weird part about this case is the case went to the Michigan Court of Appeals, and the Michigan Court of Appeals made that idiotic ruling. And as I pointed out in my talk to Neil Rubin, I'm not supposed to say bad things about the courts. I don't need to say bad things about the Court of Appeals here. Their ruling is so idiotic, it speaks for itself. Now, I'm going to point out a couple things here about the Motor Vehicle Service and Repair Act for you. And it says that 257, 1307A, that a motor vehicle repair facility cannot charge for repairs that are in fact not performed. That's what the law that this guy was suing under. And it also says they cannot fail to perform promised repairs. So if the tire rotation is a repair, which no one questions that it is, did they fail to perform it? And the Court of Appeals says, no, they didn't, because they started it. And did they charge for repairs that are in fact not performed? Well, no, they were in fact performed because they started it. And again, the Court of Appeals says, well, they started it, that's performance. This is the only place where someone's going to say that you have actual performance because you started something but didn't finish it. But one of the things I pointed out previously in other videos where I've talked about this before is that the Motor Vehicle Service and Repair Act is actually a fairly lengthy statute. And it says at 1336 that a facility that violates this act is liable, as provided in this act, to a person that suffers damages or injury as a result of the violation in an amount equal to the damages plus attorney fees and costs. And then if it's a willful and flagrant violation of the act, you can get double damages. No one's saying this is a willful and flagrant violation. This just appears to be a guy screwed up. And I even believe that the mechanic admitted that he just forgot to tighten the lug nuts. You know, these things happen. But instead of just taking care of these people, they decided to fight it. So you say, well, a facility that violates this act, Steve, what are you getting at? Because you've already pointed out that the word performed is what matters. And if a court is going to say that performance is starting something, don't the dealerships and mechanics in this case win? Well, there's other stuff in this statute. And I don't know enough about the case to tell you whether or not they pled it properly or not. But at 257.13.34, it does say a motor vehicle repair facility shall give to each customer a written statement upon return of the repaired vehicle to the customer. The statement shall disclose the following things, A through G, G being a certification that the repairs were completed properly. Completed properly. Not performed. Completed properly. So the court could have looked at this two different ways. The court could have said, well, viewing the statute as a whole, performance is obviously proper completion because that's required elsewhere in the statute. It doesn't make sense that you can start the job but not finish it and then certify that it was completed properly. Because that's the thing they kept saying is that performance doesn't... I always forget that that's there. It's been there all this time. I keep forgetting it's there. Is that they say that performance doesn't guarantee completion. But the statute says they've got to complete it. They've got to complete it properly. They must give you a certification that the repairs are completed properly. So in this case, if the lug nuts weren't tightened and they were given the certification was false. Violation of the act. If they were not given the certification, again, violation of the act. You must be given a certification that the repairs were completed properly. I know right now some people are punching their devices and their screens going, Steve, you're preaching the obvious here. I know I am. But the reason I'm preaching the obvious is that the Michigan Supreme Court decided to not hear this case because they said it was decided properly. So I double-checked, so I was curious to know about this. And in June of 2020, the Michigan Supreme Court, in the case of Anaya versus Betton, you want to look up the site, it's 944 Northwest 2nd, 697, decided not to hear this case. And so I've mentioned before the way it works in Michigan is you basically get one appeal of right. So if you have a case in the circuit court and you want to appeal it, you can just appeal it. If you have a case in the district court, you can appeal it to circuit court. But after your first appeal, the further appeals are by leave, meaning you must ask the reviewing court for permission to file an appeal. So if you're in the circuit court and you go to the Court of Appeals, if you want to appeal that, you then have to apply to the Supreme Court and request that they hear your case. It's called an application for leave to appeal. I've filed them before. The problem in Michigan is that about 98 or 99 out of every 100 applications they get are rejected out of hand. Or they'll reject them with a one-sentence order saying, we're not going to hear this case, which is what they did here. So in this case of Anaya versus Betton, again, Supreme Court of Michigan wrote, on order of the court, the application for leave to appeal is denied because we are not persuaded that the questions presented should be reviewed by this court. So the Michigan Supreme Court looked at the appeal application, read the opinion where they said that if you started the job, you performed the job, notwithstanding the fact that the same statute requires that the repairs were completed properly, and decided there's nothing wrong with that opinion. So this is now the law of the land in Michigan. And I used to tell people in other states that we had this great law in Michigan called the Motor Vehicle Service and Repair Act that protected consumers who brought their vehicles to mechanics for auto repairs. And it was cool because it said what they had to do to comply with the law. Included, for instance, is the idea they have to give you a written estimate before they start work. You bring your car and they can't go, okay, well, we'll fix it and we'll tell you what you owe us. They got to give you a written estimate and a whole bunch of other stuff. It's a great law. The law is now meaningless. It is now meaningless because every attorney who's seen this case and now knows that it's been rejected by the Michigan Supreme Court goes, well, pretty much they can do anything they want because they can just say, well, we performed the repairs when we started the work. You owe us the money. Now, there are other portions of the statute. So, for instance, if you brought your vehicle into a place and they gave you a written estimate, and then they went way over the estimate in a way that they're not allowed to under the law. And then they held your car hostage. And unless you pay us the money, we're not going to give you your car back. Well, that'd be a violation of the act also. But one of the things that this case does is it signals to consumers and attorneys that the courts in Michigan don't like this statute. They don't like this statute. They're not willing to enforce the statute. They're not willing to interpret the statute in favor of consumers. They're going to interpret it in favor of the businesses. So if you were to take a poll and call around to attorneys in my field and say, do you feel more inclined or less inclined to take these kinds of cases now that you've seen this case? No, most attorneys wouldn't touch these cases now with a 10-foot pole because of this. And this is a crazy, insane, upside-down case. This case is just, it's mind-boggling. But the Michigan Supreme Court's had a couple other bad cases in the last 10, 15 years. So this is not unfortunate. It's not anything new in that sense. But the opinion from the Court of Appeals came down, I think it was 2019, and the Michigan Supreme Court refused to hear the appeal just in 2020. And they did that because they said that they're not persuaded that the questions should be reviewed. By the way, remember, the Supreme Court can take up a case and write an opinion and go, we agree, and here's why. They actually said that they've reviewed the opinion and the briefs and decided there's nothing to be reviewed. And you'd think a case that causes this much controversy, where people are making fun of it around the world, and you can look up Michigan Lugnut case, and you'll find Google hits, you know, until the cows come home. And that's because people are mind boggled by this. People don't know what to make of this case, other than it's crazy. And it is. So again, I don't know for a fact that the attorneys on appeal frame the question perfectly or not. But buried in the act, and it's not even buried, it's actually right there, 1334G, but it's one of, you know, one, two, three, four, five, six. It's one of seven things that they're required to do to take your money. They must give you a certification that the repairs were completed properly. And if that certification is false, they violate the law. If the certification is not given, they violated the law. And there's no question here the repairs were not completed properly, notwithstanding your contorted definition of perform. So that's what's going on there with the Lugnut case. It drives me crazy when I see stuff like this. And as an attorney, I feel the obligation to almost apologize for it. But no, this one ain't my fault. This is the Court of Appeals and the Michigan Supreme Court taking a bizarre position on a plainly worded statute. So there you go. Thanks, everyone who sent it to me. I literally got it from over 50 people. So I thank all of you, but I didn't have time to go through all the names. Questions and comments, put them below. Let's talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. The word funny is a bit like the word love. We don't have enough words to describe the many varieties.